Welcome back to Your New Life Blend. I'm Shoshana Hecht, and I'm delighted to be joined today by author, founder, podcaster, and puberty expert, Vanessa Kroll Bennett. How fun is that to get to talk about something so normal, we all go through it, natural, and awkward as puberty? Okay, it may not seem fun for parents of kids going through it, or for those kids, which is exactly why Vanessa and her co-founder, podcast co-host, and now co-author, pediatrician Kara Natterson, launched what they call the First Stage of Life company focused on puberty. Vanessa and Kara are the hosts of the Puberty Podcast and just published their first book, This Is So Awkward, Modern Puberty Explained, the ultimate guide for adults helping tweens and teens navigate the roller coaster of puberty. Together in their company, Order of Magnitude, they run a full-service operation to support parents and kids through this tumultuous time with workshops, a podcast, newsletter, social media, a line of cozy, breathable, puberty-friendly products, and now the book. Vanessa is such a champion for our tweens and teens and has designed a career and company around this wild period of upheaval that we all go through. And as parents, we go through it with them again. I'm so excited to learn more about her mission and to learn about how she found herself so deep in the world of puberty and confidence building and turned that into her dream career. Another quintessential Your New Life Blend journey. I can't wait to hear about it all. Welcome to the show, Vanessa.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy you're here too. I'm really excited to talk about all of it with you. So as you know, this podcast is about building your life with intention. And when I was thinking about what to ask you, so many roads we could go down. When I was thinking about what to ask you, I kept coming back to, how does one become a puberty mogul?
Accidentally, I think is the first response, but intentionally, because this is about living life with intention. While Kara is a pediatrician, my co-author, co-host, co-everything, I am not a physician. I actually come at this work through, I guess you could call it, through the angle of building kids' self-esteem and made my way to puberty moguldom, which, you know, trademark, copyright, and all of that. About a decade ago, started a company called Dynamo Girl with the intention of using sports and social emotional learning to build girls' self-esteem. I still have four kids, but at the time, my daughter was three. I started reading the research that said that girls' self-esteem peaks at age 9 and then precipitously declines through the tween and teen years, never to recover to its previous heights. And I was like heartbroken and devastated to read that data and had been the beneficiary of having gone to an all-girls summer camp, having gone to a women's college, and having been a lifelong champion of women and girls. And so I was like, okay, well, if that's the research, what can I do? What can I build? What can I create to counteract? That is not like a self-fulfilling prophecy. That doesn't have to be the future and the reality of girls in this country. What can I do to change that? And so Dynamo Girl was birthed with the intention of changing the narrative about girls and self-esteem by using sports, because all the data we have is that kids who are physically active, who participate in sports in supportive, loving, caring environments, it actually improves their self-esteem, improves their academic success, improves their body image, improves their mental health outcomes. And so that was what it was born of. And pretty quickly, we noticed that the elementary school age girls in our program, our second and third and fourth grade girls, were in puberty. And we were like, wait, but they're 8 and 9 and 10. They're not supposed to hit puberty yet. And my colleagues and I, who are social workers and guidance counselors and educators, started doing the research and realized, actually, yes, they are. The modern reality of puberty is the average age for girls to enter puberty is between 8 and 9, and the average age for boys is between 9 and 10. So that is how I accidentally tipped into puberty work. That was really the origin story.
There are so many things that just dropped my jaw in all that. I mean, of course, you know, the data on like when puberty is starting, that is, what can I say? It's not news to me because I prepped for this and I've heard you speak about that, but it's still like hearing you say it out loud in my headphones. It's like, it's really applying it to my own journey. which was stunning. And also that the piece about the self-esteem data, it drops off when they're 9, never to recover, which honestly, just full circle for me, so much of my business is coaching high achieving women. I always say, like, people are like, who do you work with? I market to women. I work with men and I work with teams. So I work with everybody, but I market to women. And I always say, like, well, who's your ideal client? And it's that high achiever who everybody knows is a total rock star, is completely crushing it, and everyone is fully aware of it except for themselves, and they're constantly second guessing it. So really what you're talking to is the origin of that internal narrative.
As someone who grew up in that world of high achievement, people pleasing, meeting everyone else's standards and getting the grades I was supposed to and winning the awards I was supposed to and getting into the schools I was supposed to and all of that, and then becoming an adult and realizing I was terrified when I didn't know how to live life without external expectations and parameters being set for me. And I've talked to Rachel Sklar about this a lot, which is like, I was scared to start something new. I was scared to do something that didn't have preset goalposts and expectations. And being an entrepreneur was terrifying to me. And my husband, who's deeply entrepreneurial, my father was deeply entrepreneurial. My husband finally looked at me one day when I was in the early stages of Dynamo Girl. And I was like, I don't know, maybe I need a PhD. I don't know, maybe I need to talk to more people. And he finally looked at me. He's like, you don't need a fucking PhD. Just start, for God's sakes. Like, you know as much as you need to know in order to begin. And then once you begin, you will go down this road. But my confidence was so tied to external credentials and degrees and gold stars and check marks. And it's almost like I've had a whole education over the last decade in mistake making and risk taking and failure, which, to be totally honest, I had never experienced until I became an entrepreneur.
Failure.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I need my kids and I need everybody's kids to learn how to fail much, much earlier. And like, adults are so full of shit because we tell kids like, oh, it's okay to make mistakes. And like, don't worry. I don't mind if you fail. And then we lose our minds when our kids make one mistake or fail a test or don't make the team or don't get a part in the show or whatever it is. And like, we're talking out of both sides of our mouths.
The mixed messages will make people crazy, including our kids.
Right? Including our kids. So I do want to get back to the girl self-esteem, because I want people who are freaking out about that message and about the puberty message, I want to reassure people, because data about the beginning of puberty is not new. That data for girls is almost 15 years old and for boys is about 10 years old. So this is not new data. And that's important for people to realize, nor is the research about girls' self-esteem plummeting. I mean, those studies existed, I think probably certainly a decade, if not longer. I don't believe that it's a coincidence that girls' puberty is starting earlier and that their self-esteem is dipping at the very age that they are on average entering puberty, and that most adults are not aware that it is normal for girls to enter puberty on average between 8 and 9. If you think about it, it's like a domino effect, right? Girls are entering puberty. Adults are unprepared and unaware. Kids are not getting the support, the messaging, the information they need. So they're living in a world of confusion and lack of information. And that then in turn, besides, you know, the inherent misogyny in our society, that in turn knocks down self-esteem. And so I don't think it's a coincidence that the average age of puberty and the precipitous decline of girl self-esteem are literally the exact same age.
I mean, it seems totally logical. But you were starting to say, like, don't worry. You want to reassure us.
Sorry, I left you with a cliffhanger.
No, you didn't. It's just so, I want to know because I hear you, it sort of feels like it's like the data's old and also real. And I think that's enter enter.
Right. This is so awkward.
This is awkward at the puberty podcast. And like what we can do, how do we get in there with them?
So
with our kids?
Think about all the things that people say out of ignorance that are hurtful, harmful, traumatic to kids in the tween and teen years. So imagine, I mean, one of our touchstones is the issue of body image and puberty. People do not often realize that it is normal for kids to gain more weight than usual before they truly enter the growth spurts of puberty. We know that 50% of eating disorders are rooted in the tween and teen years in the years of puberty and development. And they are often born of unknowing, inadvertently harmful comments that adults make about kids changing bodies and weight gain when they're on the cusp of entering puberty. They're adults. And listen, I have my own story of this. I have my own experience of being put on a diet at 12 because I gained weight. I was quote unquote chubby and everybody was freaking out and concerned. So I was put on a diet. And then lo and behold, between the diet and hitting puberty and growing, all of a sudden I had blossom, right? And everybody hates that word. If the adults in my life had known that it was totally normal and completely fine for me to gain a lot more weight than was expected at that age, maybe they wouldn't have saddled me with the feeling that there was something wrong with my body, with my weight gain. I count myself lucky that I never tipped into having an eating disorder. And then I was an athlete and somehow managed not to, but my story is actually the exception. And it's much more common for those comments, for those interventions, quote unquote, to tip people into eating disorders. So that's one example of how adults having better information, having science-based up-to-date information and tools for how to talk to kids about it actually can prevent them from having negative impacts on kids' self-esteem. So that's one example. There's a million examples. I'm happy to go into more detail. But the whole point of our book and the whole point of the puberty podcast is to arm all trusted adults, not just parents, because educators, coaches, mentors, healthcare professionals, everybody needs this information so that they can lovingly and supportively care for the kids in their lives.
Amen to all that. I'm thinking about, because I used to have a therapy private practice and I worked mostly with teens and their families. Like that was really how I cut my teeth early licensing days, like getting my hours. And there were so many kids who would be like, I wish when I asked my parents a question, they would just, instead of asking me why I'm asking that, why are you asking that? That was a refrain among, you know, that they would talk to me. And so you strike me as clearly not afraid of hard, uncomfortable, awkward conversations. And I'm curious about that too, right? Like how you got there too, because that I feel like is the foundation to what you are trying to do. And it does not come naturally to most of us.
I think part of it is I grew up in a house where we talked about a lot of stuff. I grew up with at least one parent who was very willing to go there in any number of ways. I'm also a third of four kids. So my younger brother and I were sort of buffered from every family has mishugas, including my wonderful family. But being the younger kids, I think we were kind of buffered from the mishugas a little bit more. And so for those of you who don't speak Yiddish, mishugas means craziness, but I don't mean that in a mental health way. I mean, in a family dynamic.
The normal stuff of families that we all of
exactly.
us have.
Yes. The bananas-ness of families. So, you know, my mom talked to us about puberty, about sex. She gave us those books, Where Did I Come From and What's Happening to Me. There were no topics that were off the table. We were allowed to ask about stuff and talk about stuff. So some people who do the work that I do and Cara does are people who grew up with none of it. And so they're correcting that. And I have an amazing colleague, Mary Pat Dratty, who grew up in a household where nobody talked about any of it. And so for her, this is a real sea change from how she grew up. In my perspective, my work is sort of a continuation and a modernization of how I grew up, which is everything gets talked about and that's healthy and important and there are no fly zones.
genes?
I think we had very similar mothers. My mother is a geneticist, but she was the mother who made, I have an older brother, and she made all his friends watch the video with, and like, I just remember Ruben Blades putting a condom on a banana in the video. It was mortifying, but like, then we had the information, like, yes. We knew what to do.
Yes. When I told my mother, I mean, when I was a young adult that I had lost my virginity, she was like, was he thoughtful?
Hmm.
And it was a hilarious and slightly nauseating experience to sit across the table and have that conversation. But on the other hand, she taught me that if you're going to have sex with another person, they should be mindful of your pleasure and your experience and be thoughtful. That was the first question. It takes two. I mean, it doesn't always take two, but yeah. If it is taking two.
But in the context we're talking about, sex with another single person, another one other person, it's one and one is two. Okay, well, right.
But yeah, I think that for people out there, because we talk all over the country. We've spoken to thousands of adults, caregivers, educators. And for people who didn't grow up with it, we are constantly reassuring you can do it differently than how you were raised. And you're going to mess up. This is the weird refrain that both impacts my entrepreneurial journey and it impacts my journey raising four teenagers and also educating people about how to care for kids in this life stage. Because in all of it, you are going to mess up. And you're not just going to mess up once and big. You're going to mess up over and over and over again. And the more you make peace with failure and the better you get at admitting it, moving past it, acknowledging it, if required, apologizing for it, the better you will be at every single thing you do.
I love that. When I'm talking about parenting with people, I feel very strongly that our job as parents, it's not to fix it or make it nice or make it clean or easy. Life is messy. The biggest gift we can give our kids is trust in themselves that they can figure it, in quotes, out, whatever it is. And sometimes the resource is calling mom or dad or whoever to ask for help, but that's not always. Like, it's knowing what the right move is for them in any situation. And that's a lot of what you're talking about. How do we resource one another with information?
First of all, kids can sniff out inauthentic adults 5 miles away. So even if you think you are faking it successfully, think again. Teenagers can sniff it out. So stop faking it. Stop pretending you're perfect. And make sure they know that you can be the person they throw under the bus. That's something we think and talk a lot about. When kids need a resource, when kids need a way out of a situation, sometimes it's by making us look really, really bad to their peers or their friends so they can get the hell out of wherever they are, whether it's someone who wants to have sex with them and they don't want to have sex with them. They say, you know what? I just realized I'm getting picked up in 10 minutes. I got to go. Or if it's trying to get out of trying some sort of substance that they don't want to try. Oh, sorry, my parents drug test me. I can't. Whatever it is, we get to be the fall guy in that situation. And so we have to make peace with our imperfections in that way too. Even if it's not something we're doing, even if it's just us being the fall guy in that instance. So I think adults have to let go of the concept of perfection in a 360 way.
How do you get comfortable with, I actually don't know. Let me sit with the not knowing or sit with you in the not knowing.
Kids will ask questions and we will not know the answer to those questions. And that can be deeply uncomfortable. I will just give adults hope, people listening. It's really okay to tell a kid you don't know the answer and you'll get back to them. It buys you so much credibility. It makes you so much more relatable. The only word of advice is get back to them.
I was just going to say, yeah.
Yes.
I was going to say.
So if you're using the I don't know as a way to get out of the conversation and to deflect or pivot because you're deeply uncomfortable, get over that and get back to them and answer. Don't send them looking at Google because they'll end up looking at porn by accident if they ask you a question and you don't answer it and then they go searching on their own. Look together at our book or any of the wonderful books out there that are written for kids, but don't just avoid it forever because they will just go looking somewhere else. And I think this is another thing that we talk a lot about in This Is So Awkward, but also we talk a lot about in everything, which is we all bring our baggage into these conversations, right? We bring in the work setting, we bring our professional baggage, past bosses, past work experiences. In the family setting, we bring our adolescent baggage, our family of origin baggage. And one of the things that I really encourage people to do is to leave your baggage at the door, whatever that is. So if you walk into a new job, whatever crappy experience you had in your past responsibilities, you got to leave that behind and give yourself a fresh start. And when you are caring for kids in puberty, those deep seared memories, you have to acknowledge them. You have to find someone to talk to who is not your kid. And then you got to leave this at the door. I can only imagine as a therapist, Shoshana, what you heard and saw from kids about what kids were hearing and seeing from their parents about their own storytelling about their adolescence that parents were bringing into these conversations.
Plastering. We do that in all relationships, right? And this one in particular, we plaster and try to make it make sense all over whoever we're in relationship with, our kids included, and certainly coworkers and bosses too, right? We try to plaster like our past and repair it. It's all an effort to try and repair what went wrong, what was fucked up in the past for us. And that is not honoring of our kids and anybody else's unique journey and experience. And it keeps us stuck in just the pain and not trying to figure out solutions together. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's also okay to name this, that it's awkward, right?
Yeah. I like always encourage parents to narrate what they're feeling while they have the conversation. I mean, this is kind of my personality. I just put it all out there because it actually helps calm me by being like, oh my God, I'm so nervous. This is so stressful. But for parents, when we work with them, we say to them, like, tell your kid your pits are sweaty and the hair on the back of your neck is raised and your like heart is beating really fast. But talking about this stuff is so important. You are going to weather the discomfort of having this conversation because nothing is more important than you giving a kid this information.
That's right.
And that models for them two things. It models for them that adults get nervous too, and that it's not just a kid thing, but everybody has moments where they have to do uncomfortable stuff. And as you said earlier, we can weather it, right? Like not every experience is going to be easy or smooth or joyful, but we can weather the uncomfortable feelings and move on and recognize that the first experience, the first emotion that we have is not the only emotion we're ever going to have. And that I love as a lesson for everybody involved. The book is called This Is So Awkward, but really what it should be called is This Is So Awkward, dot, 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 but it doesn't have to be.
Yeah, there's so much good stuff there. Because I think puberty, like so much of life, a pandemic, is stuff that happens to us, right? And like the analog to it, and what a lot of listeners, I think a lot of my listeners are interested, are thinking about too, is impending menopause. Like the way that the body changes and like coming up with a fluency around discomfort, anxiety, and how we can name that and make contact with that in support of ourselves and others in our lives, kids and et cetera, is crucial, so vital.
And the temptation is to feel, and we talk about this a lot when we talk to people about mood swings, kids' mm-hmm. mood swings. Kids cannot help the mood swings they have in puberty. Their brains are bathed in sex hormones that change the way the neurons fire in their brains. The sex hormones rise and fall in peaks and troughs at unpredictable times throughout the course of their day for years. It's not their fault. So what is our job as adults? And I think about this in so many different contexts. Our job is to be knowledgeable, understand what's happening, and set up the parameters, the supports, the conversations, the interactions that help kids feel less shame, less confusion, less worry while they weather this roller coaster. And it's true of menopause too, right? Like there's stuff in menopause we can't change. It is biology, but with information, with guidance, with support, in this case, also with some hormonal interventions or other medical interventions, we are not just the victims of circumstance. We can proactively get more knowledgeable and engage and hopefully change the narrative a little bit.
It's like full circle on the changes of our lives that like some welcome, some not, and the inevitability of it all. And I think just echoing what you've said and what's woven in with what you just said is, and being willing to go there. So thank you for what you're doing. I could keep talking forever, but it's like puberty mogul, like making it happen. Yeah.
You know, I think what's crazy to us, and this is like a little bit from a family perspective and a little bit from a business perspective, every single person on earth has gone through puberty or will go through puberty, is a stage of life everyone goes through at some point. And it is so bananas. People don't talk about it, that it's whispered about or joked about. And thank God that menopause is now out of the shadows and into the light and everybody's talking about it. And our goal is to do for puberty what has been done for menopause, because menopause is half the population. Puberty is the entire population. And all of the research says that you can build healthier, safer kids if you give them information and you have these conversations and you are in dialogue about the millions of tiny things that affect kids' health and safety over the course of this life. So for those of you who have a business idea and you're like, I mean, why is nobody talking about this? Why is nobody doing this? Don't think you're crazy that it exists out there, because we are here to tell you we do this work and nobody has been talking about it. I mean, there's some amazing people in our very small field. But if you have a business idea and you can't believe no one's talking about it, maybe no one is talking about it. And take the bull by the horns and start talking about it and build that business that you're wondering why doesn't it already exist.
I love that. I think that's just the perfect Your New Life Blend moment to end on. Where can we find you, follow you, and support the proliferation of this incredibly important conversation?
How have we never used proliferation of puberty? That is a very, I guess proliferation for our generation has another less optimistic meaning, but we're going to co-opt that term, Shoshana, and use it. So you can find us on Instagram at Spilling the Puberty, T-E-A, because we love puns, or Vanessa Kroll Bennett. You can find us on orderofmagnitude.co because we can't afford the M quite yet, but we will. And we're building a site called Modern Puberty, which is what all of our work is about. And you can buy the book wherever you find your books. It's called This Is So Awkward. If you prefer independent booksellers, go there. If you prefer large corporation, you can go to Amazon.
Put all the links in the
We'll put in all the links, and you can email thepubertypodcast@gmail.com if you have requests for episodes. We love, 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 love requests. If you would like to be a guest on the podcast, please reach out. We cover everything from homework stress to mental health to physical changes to family relationships to every possible topic that affects kids between 8 and 18. So don't be shy. Be in touch with us.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being here, Vanessa.
Such a joy.
Such a joy.
Thank you so much.
And thanks everyone for listening. This has been Your New Life Blend, and I'm Shoshana Hecht reminding you, as ever, to be gentle with yourself.